Good evening. Please be opening to the New Testament, the third epistle of John. The third epistle of John. I think you'll agree, one of the blessings of having the written word of God is the people we are able to meet. Can you imagine having a Bible that had no people in it? No Adam and Eve, no Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, no apostles, no cases of conversion in Acts, nothing about Paul or Timothy, no local churches in real places with real people. Have you ever picked up a textbook on systematic theology? If you ever have difficulty falling asleep at night and you do not want to have a prescription for sleep medication, if you will come by my house, if I'm still awake, ask me for a book on systematic theology. I'll be glad to part with that book and make space for something else in my library. And you'll read about how men have interpreted deity and all of the philosophical meanderings and the historical views of men about God and about religion. I doubt that you will make it to page 7. There's no drama. There's no narrative about people. No people are mentioned. It's paragraph 1, section 1, and on to the end of the book. The Bible is not like that. God didn't give us just a book of rules and principles. He gives us rules and principles intermingled with real people in the context of real people. See, God wrote a book to people. To us, and it relates to us on a very human level. We learn about people. Some are good, some are bad, but we're able to open this book and we're able to meet them and learn about them and learn from them whether they are good people or bad people. And that really helps us. This dimension in Scripture that is people oriented is of great value to us today. I'm going to read the third epistle of John. I want you to listen carefully because we're going to meet four people in the third letter of John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. Let's go back to verse 1. And let's meet our first man in 3 John. And his name is Gaius. And John said about Gaius, he described him as beloved. I want to make a fine point of that. I think this was not just a generic love for all mankind, and Gaius was just one of those in mankind. He was just included as one among millions. No, this is a specific affection for a person. Using this endearing terminology, beloved, there was something about this Christian brother, Brother Gaius, that endeared him to John personally. And specifically, John had this affection for him. And if you go further, you'll see it has something to do with the truth. Verse 1 says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth." Somehow, truth is involved in John's personal affection for Gaius. John loved all men, we know that. John loved all Christians, certainly. But his specific affection for Gaius had to do with Gaius' relationship to the truth of God. And so as we continue to read in verses 2 through 4, we discover this about him. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. But I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now we have something more specific. We have not just the mention of Gaius with great affection, and not just the mention of his relationship with truth, but now, very specifically, here's what people knew about this man. He was walking in the truth. Verse 3, John said to Gaius, "You are walking in the truth." God has always revealed truth for men and women to walk by, to live by. He is a truth-revealing God, the Creator is. And the apostles of Christ reveal final, ultimate truth, the faith once for all delivered to the saints that we have on the pages of the New Testament that we've read from tonight. Perhaps you've made this observation in your previous Bible reading and study. John gives truth a very high place. In all three epistles, there is a repeated emphasis on truth. Now, it is not scientific truth or academic truth or economic truth or vague philosophical discussions about truth among men, such as you find in the theological systematic books. That's not what John is interested in. It is not truth in just some human perception that is individualized. It is truth from God, given through Christ and the apostles that was given to get us out of sin, living right, and to go to heaven. John's affection for Gaius had this dimension of deep appreciation, that he was not just an adherent to God's truth verbally, but he walked in it. He lived it day by day. Do you remember last Sunday night? Sometime I'm going to do a pop quiz and see how much folks remember. You remember last Sunday night when we were in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, and Isaiah was identifying the problems among the people of Judah. And one thing he said that we highlighted last Sunday night was truth was lacking. God, from the beginning, has been devoted to giving man the truth about how to live. When man loses interest in God's truth, and that is accompanied by an appetite for what isn't true, error, when truth is lacking and error is embraced, it is never good for those involved. There are times when it is rare to find someone who really loves the truth, walks in it, lives by it day after day, and proclaims it without hesitation. Our first man tonight, Gaius, was one like that. John appreciated that. John considers Gaius to be a beloved brother, and their closeness was founded on their activity walking in the truth of God. In verse 4, John said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." John knew and Gaius knew, and we ought to know that learning, speaking, and walking in the truth of God pleases God and produces within us the greatest of joys. There's nothing like the joy that there are people who love God and therefore they want to know and practice the truth God has given. If our priorities are where they ought to be, it will give us joy every time we hear of people like Gaius. And I can tell you, since Bill mentioned this earlier, that Clarence and Vita Lemon fell into this category. They loved the truth of God. I hope every one of us place high value on the truth God has given. I hope that we want to study it, know it, and walk in it, and be closer to it, and be better committed to it. The joy the Apostle John wrote about in these opening verses can be ours. And I want you to notice, in verses 5 through 8, the dimensions of this walking in the truth that became apparent in the life of Gaius. "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." What you see here is, in Gaius, love for God, but connected to it well, love for God's people. Love for the truth, but connected to it well, living that truth day by day and supporting good people who were aligned with the truth of God. What a joy to be associated with fellow workers for the truth. I know, and we talk about this a lot, the world is on a pathway away from the truth of God. And it upsets us. It disturbs us. It can depress you. Perhaps we should take a cue from John and never forget there are people all around the world, few as they may be, who are walking in the truth of God every day. They're not going to get media attention. And you're not going to know their names. But there are people everywhere walking in the truth of God, however few they may be. Let's take confidence in that and pray for them. Trust me, there are Christians everywhere who have formed local churches, and they're doing what we do. They're walking in the truth. May God be praised. Gaius. Now the next man we meet, we will not meet with the kind of joy that John said he had about Gaius, because now we're going to meet Diotrephes. Verses 9 and 10. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he's doing, talking wicked nonsense against us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Well, the contrast is the first thing that will occur to you as you read 3 John. The contrast is easy to spot. A strong commitment to the truth of God on the part of a man with a zealous heart, and consistently that imparts the greatest joy to John the Apostle. But then a strong man who is strong in his own arrogance, not in walking in the truth, but strong in his own bold arrogance and his failure to acknowledge God's authority. That's heartbreaking. It is dreadful, but it's real. Apparently, in the same place where Gaius and other good Christians assembled, there was this selfish, partisan dictator type, who John says, in the English Standard Version, was talking nonsense. I'm going to call Diotrephes a spiritual bully, or if you prefer, a religious dictator. Do you remember when you were in school, on the elementary school playground or in the junior high cafeteria, before school systems had police or security? Sometimes there would be one boy, usually a big guy, much bigger than the likes of me, and he ran the playground like a terrorist. You stayed as far away from him as possible. If anyone said or did anything this bully didn't like, he would unleash his wrath on you and anybody else nearby. This is the guy who terrorized kids to give up their lunch money. Diotrephes was a spiritual bully. He's like the juvenile bully on the playground. But he's a religious dictator who throws his weight around. And here's how bad it was. He did not acknowledge the authority of the apostles. John had to call his name. He wanted to control everything. He talked wicked nonsense, Diotrephes. He refused to welcome good brethren. He put people out of the local church by his strong arm control tactics. John said when he came, he would deal with this man. John would take the bully by the horns. Now, if you want to be careful to avoid ever becoming like this man, there is a phrase here that gives you and gives me the key. In verse 9, he put himself first. In some of the translations that you may hold, it may say something like, he loved to have the preeminence among the brethren. He wanted to be number one. Christians don't do that. We put Christ first. So to avoid ever becoming someone who speaks wicked nonsense and wants to control everybody, just do this. Put Christ first. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 for just a moment, please. Philippians chapter 2. What we're going to do is read here what was missing in the heart of Diotrephes. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read what was missing in the heart of Diotrephes. Paul said, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus." That's what was missing in the heart of Diotrephes. The unselfish humility first displayed by Jesus Christ, recommended in Philippians 2 by Paul, that's what Diotrephes did not have. He put himself first. He cared more about self than others. He was heavily involved in rivalry, conceit, and selfishness. And in all that, he was not honoring Christ, not acting like Christ, not really working in the cause of Christ. Now, before we go further, I want you to look with me at verse 11 here in 3 John. "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God." I think the position of this statement is enlightening, and it perfectly connects everything in the third letter of John. John has given us a good example in Gaius, a bad example in Diotrephes, the bully, the church bully. Now he says, remember your purpose is to imitate what is good, not what is evil. Now we've met two men so far, Gaius and Diotrephes. I promised you four, so we come now to number three, Demetrius. We don't have a paragraph about Demetrius. We have a verse. "Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true." I want you to consider that John is not simply relying on rumor or reputation. John received good testimony about this man from everyone, the local church and people who knew him. It was all good. And it was based on the truth itself. Did you see that phrase? Ultimately, John makes a judgment about everybody based on their alignment with the truth of God. See, it is our reception of truth that God has given and our personal commitment to it and our activity about it every day that puts us in the category where we cause great joy in the hearts of people and please God. John appreciated that, and he named this man when he wrote the letter. So we have Gaius, Diotrephes, Demetrius. But I said four. Let's include John, the writer. Here's the thing about New Testament writers. They don't spend much time telling their own stories. Have you noticed that about New Testament writers? They don't spend much time telling their own stories. New Testament writers don't pass out resumes. They were modest men whose passion focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, raised from the dead. They told the story of the Savior, not their own stories. They only mentioned their own stories when it was related to the truth and grace that they were recipients of from God through the Savior. Generally, we don't like preachers to get up and just go on and on about themselves and tell their story. We want preachers to tell the wonderful story. John was focused not on telling his story, but on telling the story about Christ. Yet, I think there is much we can learn from John's writings about him as a person. For instance, concerning John, we already have mentioned his commitment to the truth. When you read all three epistles of John, it becomes clear that it was written in a time of crisis. Truth was lacking in the hearts and lives of so many people, even some who had been baptized. Old Diotrephes, the church bully. And there was false teaching. Error was being spread about who Jesus is and what he did and the value of it. John could not let that pass. John wanted Christians to walk in the truth, and that meant John rejected error. John is the one who stands against and who mentions over and over the Antichrist. John is the one who names Diotrephes. Now, to have that courage and that commitment to truth, well, let us imitate what is good. And John is a good example. In addition to his commitment to truth, John wants Christians to combine something with the truth. You know what that is? If you've read 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, there is something John wants us to have to accompany our commitment to truth. Turn to 1 John 4 and listen to verses 7 through 11 in 1 John 4. We want to know what John wants us to have to accompany our commitment to truth. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then would you look at verses 20 and 21. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. John was not a man who spoke of truth and commitment to truth and left out love. John wants these two to be combined. John is passionate about truth, and he's equally passionate about the love that must accompany our commitment and our alignment with truth. And this challenges us. There's something else about John. John is exceedingly strong against error. I want you to look this time at 2 John, verses 9 through 11. Some people, I think, have the impression that since John has such emphasis on love, that he can't really be strong against error or false teaching. But listen to this. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Well, that's not politically correct. But I'll tell you this, it is spiritually healthy. Love the truth. And love people so much that when error is approaching, you say something. When false teaching arrives, you expose it and you give no support or endorsement to those who bring it. John gives us this great example of how you can hold to the truth, walk in the truth, and love each other, but without compromise. I want to say that one more time. John gives us this example of how you can hold to the truth of God, walk in the truth of God, and love each other, but without any compromise. Diotrephes pushed his own judgment. He didn't care about people or truth. He cared about getting his way. Gaius, Demetrius, and John loved the truth God had revealed through Christ. They walked in the truth, loved Christians, but did not tolerate false teaching. Four men. Would you let me develop just one more point? It will take me about another 2 or 3 minutes. Who do you want to spend your time with while you're here on the earth? Who do you want to have as a close friend? A good example, a counselor. I'm certain Christians want to spend their time not with the likes of Diotrephes, but with people like Gaius and Demetrius and John. Here's what we're going to call that: spiritually valuable companionship. That will help you serve God. Obviously, that value can be found in men and women who are like Gaius and Demetrius and John. I believe these kind of people here who have this kind of influence and who have this kind of example, we need. And we need to be. We need to appreciate people we already have who are like Gaius and Demetrius and John. But also, we need to be those kind of people. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. I hope this has been informative and refreshing and so simple that we'll remember it as we go into the week. Let's be standing as we sing.